In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Last Sunday, the epistle passage we heard from the letter of Hebrews praised men and women, various men and women of the Old Testament, for their act of faith in the promise of God. The Lord, however, did not fulfill completely the promises he made in the Old Testament. Rather, as St. Paul writes, there was something better in store for them and something better in store for you and me. And then the lesson of the gospel gave the answer. Jesus the Christ. He is the fulfillment of every promise that God has ever made. Jesus of Nazareth, as we heard in last week's gospel passage, told Nathanael, quote, "Greater things than these you will see. You will see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Indeed, to see, to meet the God-man, that is the greater thing. The psalmist teaches to see the face of God is to live. The lesson from last week's scripture frames then the entire season of Great Lent. Ours this Lent is one main focus: to encounter, to see the living person, Jesus of Nazareth. The entire focus of the great season of Lent is to retreat. Now, that word retreat, it's not the retreat like a falling back that an army will do when they're losing a battle. No, this is retreat with a dash. R-E-dash-treat, which means to review, to go over again, to revisit, to take an inventory. That's to retreat. And what are we retreating? Our very relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with our neighbor, our relationship with creation, the four great relationships. Lent is a time to take an inventory about how those relationships stand. How ordered are they? And of course, no one has perfect relationships in any of the four categories. If you were, you'd be a living saint. You'd probably be the mother of the Theotokos, but we're not. We're not. No. No, an honest assessment is in all four relationships, there is need for repentance, right? The word repentance, to make an act of metanoia, to act of metanoia. And the second Sunday of Lent continues that very theme of metanoia. Today, the epistle from Hebrews exhorts you and me with these words. Quote, "That is why we should all the more earnestly observe the things we have heard, lest perhaps we drift away. For if the words spoken by angels proved to be valid, and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" Because see, the message that God has given to us in the New Testament is not from angels. It's from himself. He's the great salvation. Every great Lent is a distinct and unique season set aside to retreat, to take an inventory of how you and I have drifted away. Note that word, drifted. It's not necessarily I make this conscious act of choice to reject God or reject His church, reject the Bible. No, it's a drifting away, getting lazy, getting lackadaisical, getting too comfortable, right? And it happens in subtle ways, and it happens in overt ways, right? Right. Nobody here is an apostate. You wouldn't be here if you were, right? But St. Paul's writing to Christians, the Hebrews, these obviously are Christian people. They believe. And yet he's warning all of us of the tendency to drift away. In what ways have you and I compromise our relationship with God in this church? Maybe by not fasting, not saying our daily prayers, staying away from confession. How have you and I grown cold in our love for God and the love for the church? How might you and I have become indifferent toward God and His church? Indifferent toward our neighbor, indifferent toward God's gift, the creation. How might have you and I fallen into that sin of legalism, where Christianity has become a checklist of obligations to do, to fulfill? One more activity in my weekly schedule. I go to Divine Liturgy, I check the box off. I go to Great Compline, I check the box off. I go to the Pre-Sanctified, I check my box off. I do my daily prayers, I check the box off. All that does is mean we become churchgoers, but that's not living the Christian life. That's a faith that's rather anemic. Going to Divine Liturgy, going to prayer, praying with the church, doing our daily prayers, should be the source of joy. It should be life-giving, not a to-do. Not a to-do, right? And yet how many people, maybe ourselves sometimes, fall in that trap of saying, gosh, the liturgy went an hour and 15 minutes today. Oh my gosh, the prayer's going to take 30 minutes to do today. That's falling into the church-goer mentality. The result, warns St. Paul in today's epistle, is that we neglect such a great salvation. That English word salvation, it comes from the Latin word, salus, salus, which actually means health, being well, being whole or complete. Indeed, then, Jesus the Christ is the salvation. He's the great salvation, which means He's the one that makes you and me healthy, well, and complete, whole. Someone who does not know Christ is an incomplete person. You are not fully alive as a human being. We don't say that enough in our society today. To not know Jesus Christ or to walk away from Christ and His church is to be a sick human being. You are not whole. You are not whole. To drift away from Him is to become ill, incomplete, to become sick. Such is the lesson in today's gospel passage. You and I are that paralytic man. That's why Mark puts that account in his gospel passage. You and I are that paralytic. Everyone is paralyzed because everyone suffers from the spiritual disease of sin. No one's exempt from sin. If you say that, says St. John in his epistles, you're a liar. You belong to the devil. We are all suffering from the spiritual disease. The paralytic and the men carrying their maybe friend or family member or simply the neighbor eagerly desired a healing. And that paralytic, can you only imagine? That paralytic just didn't want to walk. He didn't desire to walk. Think about it. This man yearned from the depth of his being to be able to get up off that mat and walk again. To have that dignity as a human being, to be able to walk upright. And then after this enormous ordeal, right? They carry this man on the stretcher. Have you ever carried somebody on a stretcher? Have you ever tried to pick up somebody who can't move? The weight, right? They're carrying him on the stretcher. They get to this crowd. They can't get through the crowd. Everybody's around. Boy, talk about disappointment, okay? This Jesus of Nazareth healing all these people. He's right there and we can't get to him. So they get up on the roof. They lift this man up on the rooftop. They dig a hole through the roof. They lower the man down. Talk about labor-intensive ordeal. But it was motivated by eager anticipation. And then, the most unexpected happens. Jesus of Nazareth says, "Your sins are forgiven." One can only imagine how disappointed these men were, how crestfallen and confused they became. We weren't looking to have his sins forgiven. He wants to walk. The lesson today is that the real paralysis, the genuinely life-threatening disease, is sin. And there's no genuine healing until there's spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sin, which is restored communion with God. Carl Jung, one of the great pioneers of psychotherapy, said that the vast majority of his neurotic patients had nothing psychologically wrong with them. He said they were spiritually sick. They hadn't made a good confession. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Such is the God-ordained priority." And C.S. Lewis wrote, if we accept heaven, we shall not be able to retain the smallest and most intimate souvenirs of hell." You and I have drifted from the kingdom in overt ways or subtle ways. Our zeal for the kingdom waxes and wanes. Honest self-examination will reveal in our hearts a coldness and indifference at times toward God. So today, on the second Sunday of Lent, the church gives us the commemoration of the great archbishop, a holy monk, a profound theologian, St. Gregory of Palamas. The spiritual doctor taught this, and I conclude with these words. Quote, "Since the kingdom of God is at hand and within us and will soon arrive, let us make ourselves worthy of it by works of repentance."